everybody. It's Christine, and I am so happy to introduce you to, or you may know him, one of my great friends, Lewis House, and he is many, many things. He's a former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. He hosts one of the most popular podcasts out there called School of Greatness, one of my favorite podcasts and one that I was...
People loved you on it.
I loved being on it. It was one of my favorite interviews. And he really just teaches people how to live the life of their dreams. And personally, he's just an amazing guy. Whenever I'm with Lewis, I feel seen, I feel uplifted, I feel inspired. And, you know, I've told you about this, but I'll mention it again. Like, Lewis and I don't know, it was December or January early in the year, mm-hmm. and we were sitting and talking, and he's an amazing listener. And I was just, you know, talking about everything that was going on in my business, and he's...
Was this down in the Star Wars?
Yeah, down right there. Mm-hmm. And you really cut to the chase. You're like, what do you want? Like, what do you want to create? And it was about a business thing. And you really challenged me, and you called me forward. And it was a combination of challenging me, seeing me, acknowledging me, and believing in me. It's almost like I borrowed your belief until I had my own. Huh. And like 7 months into the year, I hit that goal. And it was really cool to celebrate. So that's what Lewis is up to in the world. He's up to empowering people and really freeing people from what limits their power. So
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And we're here today because he has a new book coming out, his first book.
First big book
called The School of Greatness. And this is my advanced copy. It's the official book is a pretty hard cover. Not that this isn't a handsome cover. Everybody should get a copy of this book. It's just filled with so many great takeaways and stories and exercises. I loved it.
Thank you.
So I want to start with asking you a question that you ask all of us who've been on your podcast at the end, but I want to ask at the beginning. What is greatness?
For me, the reason I ask it because I hear everyone has a different answer. So it's different for everyone. So for me, greatness is discovering and cultivating our gifts and talents that we were born with, mm-hmm. our unique gifts and talents, to live our dreams, and through that, making the maximum impact on the most people around us mm-hmm. with living our dreams.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's a great definition. Yes. And I relate to it, and I'm thinking about my tribe, and a lot of them know they're great, but they fluctuate between believing they're great and maybe seeing their potential, and a lot of like the negative self-talk, the beliefs, and really not knowing what their greatness really is.
Yeah.
So what's the first step to really identifying your unique gifts and your own personal greatness?
I think it's figuring out first off what you love. Figuring out what you love to do first. You know, in the book I talk about a perfect day exercise where I think you do this too with people, but really, if you could have anything, if you could do anything in any day, what would the things you'd be doing? Who are the people you'd be spending time with? What would fill your heart up with the most mm-hmm. joy? And through that exercise and that process of dreaming and thinking about how you would feel great, what are the things that are happening? And that's where you discover your gifts, I think. And usually mm-hmm. the gifts are what other people can also tell you, what they think you're good at, what you bring to the table, what they recognize you for. So I think through those processes, you can discover your gifts.
And owning our gifts is so important, right?
Like I think it is.
I think a lot of us play small and are afraid to brag or don't want to be in our ego, but we want to own our gifts and celebrate them and have people in our lives that celebrate them with us and like our champions for our success.
Absolutely.
And you talk about that in the book. I can't remember what chapter it is, but it's all about building a winning team.
Yes.
And it's not just about people that work for you. Uh-huh. It's about like the people that surround you.
Everyone. Yeah. I mean, it's so important. You know this too. It's for me as an athlete, I realized that I wouldn't have been as successful without a great coach and great teammates and a great family to support me and mm-hmm. going after it. And, you know, everything I needed evolved around having a great team to get to that level. And so when I got into, you know, life after sports, I was like, I need a great team. I need great mentors, great coaches. I need to surround myself with inspiring peers.
Yeah.
So I've always tried to find, one of the reasons I started the podcast, because I was like, I want to build a platform where the most inspiring people in the world will want to come on mm-hmm. so I can be friends with them. Mm-hmm. I was like, I need to create something that allows me to attract that. I need to step into that person that I can track those people. And the more I, you know, attract inspiring people, the more they teach me and I learn. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to use that as new tools for everything I'm doing in business and relationships and life. So I think it's really essential to evaluate our relationships, mm-hmm. every one of our relationships, and make sure, you know, even rank them, which mm-hmm. may sound a little bad, but even like on a scale of 1 to 10, him being the ultimate, they're pushing you, they're inspiring you, they love you, they don't judge you. Where are all your relationships? And if someone's below like a 6 or 7, you may not want to spend too much time with them.
Yeah.
And it may be challenging because you might be thinking like, well, that's my mom or that's my dad. They're always putting me down, or my spouse is like negative constantly. Mm-hmm. And that's just some, you either need to have a clearing and conversation with them and say, this is what I am expecting moving forward.
Right.
And if they aren't willing to honor that, then you might have to shift some relationships.
Right. Well, and that's kind of part of growth too.
Yeah.
As we grow, you know, people I'm friends with now are not the people. There's maybe a few people from 10 years ago, but there's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is, like, I know you and I are going to be in each other's lives for a while because we're both committed to the same kind of vision and the same kind of value. So I was having this conversation at lunch with my friend this morning about, like, that's kind of one of the scary parts about growth is that you may lose some people. But the really cool thing is you get this new soul family.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
It's so scary for me right now because I feel like I've been shifting some certain relationships that I've been very connected to and close with lately. And it's the scariest thing. It's freaking challenging. But I think you got to stay committed to your vision and everything will work out.
Right.
Everything will work out if you're committed to the vision.
So what's scary about it so people can really relate to
that? I think it's scary specifically like with your family relationships, mm-hmm. if your family isn't committed to the same values you have, in intimate relationships. It's scary because you put so much energy into building something with someone or people.
Yeah.
And to let that go or for it to change when you give all your energy and heart on the table to a relationship, there's a lot of uncertainty that comes from disconnecting.
Yeah.
And it's challenging. I'm going through that myself. It's interesting because I'm going through like one of the saddest, I would say it's more on the tail end, mm-hmm. of one of the saddest experiences in the last few years for me from letting go of a relationship. And I'm also birthing a dream that I've had for 8 years.
Yeah.
And it's the most exciting thing that's happening in one area of my life, and it's the most sad thing in another area of my life.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to learn how to face adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Like extreme adversity, emotional, internal adversity, and still continue to put out something that you believe in.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's not an easy way to do it, I don't think.
No, there's not. And of course, my favorite chapter was turn adversity into advantage, because that's expectation hangover, right?
Yes,
that's all what it is. And, you know, those adversities, those expectation hangover, especially the end of a relationship, it really, like, it brings everything to the surface because it just hits on those core things that but then that offers huge opportunities for growth. But we can't jump to that. Like, I wish we could just skip to the, like, oh, here's the blessing,
the
here's the reason, like, I get it all. But
You just gotta have faith. That's the thing I've been holding on to, is just like, it's reminding myself, okay, I've been in situations like this in the past where I thought it was horrible and it was and this and that, but something always came great from it. Whether I reconnected with that person in the past or not, something always amazing and magical happened at some point afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's as long as we continue to follow our truths and our dreams, and we're committed to being a good human being, then good will come back to us.
Well, I will hold that faith for you,
Thank
just you. Like you held that faith for me and my business, because I know what's on the other side of this for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing and not surprising, because I know that you really value vulnerability, that you're so honest about, this is an amazing time and I'm going through this too. Well, let's talk about vulnerability a little bit. What have you learned about what vulnerability actually is and feels like, and what does it create in your life?
Well, I feel like the key to achieving our dreams and success in life is relationships. And the key to success, because I don't think we can do anything on our own. Great. And the key to successful relationships is being real and being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that over the years, that the more real I become and raw and authentic and vulnerable, the quicker I create a quicker connection.
Right.
If I wait to share about who I am or what I'm up to, what I believe in and what I'm afraid of or anything like that, then I wait to connect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it really just is, I don't really have too many surface conversations. You know, with people I meet, I think they're taken back by me pretty quickly, because I'm like, like, yeah, okay, where did you grow up? Where are you from? And I'm like, so what do you want to do with your life?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, what inspires you? What are you excited about? And they're like, what? Who are you? You know, so for me, it's like, let's get to it. Like, I want to learn about you through being real.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned about vulnerability is it's really scary and messy, and it can be a fearful thing. But the more I do it, I feel like it's just second nature now to just be open and be vulnerable. And it becomes less and less scary. The more you do anything,
absolutely.
It's like, I almost feel like, I wonder if people think I'm not authentic because I'm so authentic now. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
like, and maybe I'm too vulnerable too quick.
Yeah.
So they think like, oh, he's just, it's like an act or something. But I'm like, no, this is just.
This is who I am.
This is how I'm like deciding to be on a consistent basis. And I'm not saying like every time you meet me, I'm going to be the most real and authentic, but I'm constantly trying to be in that conversation.
It's a huge value for you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I expect it from someone else. But I know that in order to get that from someone else, I need to be it first.
Absolutely.
So I'm always willing to like share anything.
Yeah.
To just drop a little bit of a wall for someone and be like, oh, okay, I can share with him as well.
Well, that's what we all want.
Yeah.
Like to me, you know, greatness is, it's the external stuff we can create, but where inside do we create that from?
Yeah.
You know, like for me, I know my first career was all created from a space of insecurity. It was created from what's going to fill the void.
Right.
No, and what's so beautiful about what you're creating now with your podcast and with this amazing book is that you're creating it from a space of authenticity.
Yes.
So the foundation that it's on and built upon is lasting versus, you know, an expectation hangover. I talk about compensatory strategies, like trying to do things because we want to make up for something else.
Or prove something wrong.
Or prove something,
yeah.
So how do you, like, what can you offer people in terms of as they're going out to create their greatness, or they have a business or a relationship or something they want to start, how can they really check in and know inside, like, where are they creating this from? You talk a little bit about a champion's mindset in the book. Maybe you can teach a little bit about that.
I would say how you can know where you're creating it from. If you don't have an expectation hangover, then you're probably on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not when you have an expectation hangover, it's because you really put your energy towards something, I think, that wasn't a place of inspiration,
mm-hmm.
and you're attached to the result, right?
Yeah.
You're attached to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I grew up resenting a lot of people, peers, whatever, family, friends. And so I grew up with this drive and this fire to prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of fuel and energy to
mm-hmm.
achieve the dreams I wanted to. But when I would achieve them, I was like so lonely and empty and you know, hungover. I was just like, I was nasty, I was mean.
Yeah.
I was like, what is wrong with me? Why? I just achieved everything I wanted to for years. It just happened, and now I'm not happy. And when I look back at it, I really realized that it's because I wasn't coming from a place of vision and inspiration
mm-hmm.
to serve other people or serve myself. It was to prove people wrong that I was good enough or worthy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think check in with yourself. When you're every night when you go to bed, do you feel good about yourself, or do you feel resentment or anger towards something?
Mm-hmm.
And then look at what that is, because that's not going to be serving you
mm-mm.
on your mission. So now I come from a much different place. It's like, I want to live my dreams first, because I believe that's real greatness.
Right.
If we're not, if we're just, unless our dream is to serve other people, and that's our mission, and that's our ultimate dream, then okay. But if we're living our lives just to like only serve our kids, and only serve our husband or your wife, and you're not also chasing your dream, I feel like you're... What's the word? It's like a cop out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a cop out. You're like, well, I've got these responsibilities,
right.
But that's not setting an example to your kids, your family, your community, that you're capable of creating the life you want.
Right.
So it's a cop out, and I feel like it's more selfish to not go after your dreams.
Yeah, it's not living into your full potential.
It's not.
Right.
And I don't think we were born. I don't think God created us, or wherever you believe in created us, to say, go live an average life. Like, don't do what you want. Don't do what you were made that I created you to do. Like, just hang back out of fear. I just don't think that's what we're supposed to do.
I agree. We're given so much of this
huge
potential. I heard Brian Tracy speak once at one of Brendan's events, and he said, we only use 10% of our potential on average.
Yeah.
And, like, I know we're both committed to, like, getting that number way up and helping other people get that number way up. And at the same time, I kind of like the word balance, because I don't believe in the whole work life. Like, you know, we can't divide our life into a pie chart. But you talk a lot about hustle in the book.
Yeah.
So where, okay, you hustle, but then there's also that time to stop and be quiet and be present.
Yeah. I look at my life as a sport, because that's what I know. And sports are exact mirror of life. There are seasons.
Yeah.
I didn't play a football game every week throughout high school and college, I would be dead right now probably if I did that. There was a 4-month window where you really build up, and then there's a climax, and then there's an off season where you recover, you reevaluate, you grow, you do all these things, and you see if you want to go into the next season.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with our lives, you know, where we have a career where we may have a dream that we go after, and then after 5 years we're like, you know what, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. That's okay. It's an end of a season. Time to reevaluate. And what's next? I just interviewed John C. Maxwell. Is that his middle initial? John Maxwell.
Yeah, totally.
And just interviewed him yesterday. And I was like, you've sold 25 million books. You've been around for 4 decades doing this work, speaking to millions of people. Can you balance your life? And he was, is there a balance to this? And he was like, there is no such thing as a balanced life. There are seasons. And I was like, thank you for saying that. That's how I live, you know. The end of the year, it's time to evaluate what do you want for next year. It's just like how we live life.
Yeah, I love that. That's so well said. Yeah. And there are seasons. And right now you're in a busy season.
I'm in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs.
I'm like getting ready for the ultimate, my Super Bowl. So I've been gearing up and working longer hours, harder, connecting deeper with people. But it's going to end at some point.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be like, all right, I need to go somewhere for a month and chill.
Kauai.
Exactly. And then rediscover what's my new dream, what I want to create, and put a game plan together
awesome.
So I can grow into that.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So before we tell people where they can go get the book and all that, what's just one step? Because I think a lot of times what stops people, well, there's fear. That's a common stop. But also overwhelm is a huge stop. They look at you and all you've talked about and all your success and everything, and sometimes they're just paralyzed by that.
Yeah.
So what's just one step? Not the whole staircase, but one step somebody could take today to step into their greatness more.
I would say write down 10 things that you're most grateful for.
Hmm.
And then call the person that you haven't talked to in the longest time who's made a huge impact in your life.
Hmm.
Call them up and tell them how much you love them.
Wow.
And how much you appreciate them and what they've meant to your life. Maybe it's a teacher from high school, a coach. Call them and say, here are all the things that have happened in my life. I just want to let you know that one time you said that thing to me, that one time you stood up for me and you believed in me and took me over the side, it really meant a lot to me. And I probably wouldn't be here today impacting people without you.
Awesome.
So that's the one step. The second step I would say is to find an accountability partner, a coach, a mentor that can guide you along the next steps.
Yeah. Huge. I wouldn't be where I am today without my coaches.
Yeah.
For sure. Just back to sports again.
That's it.
You know? I love that. And, you know, the thing about the gratitude is, I posted something recently, like, you can't get to where you want to be if you're not grateful for where you are.
Exactly.
And, you know, greatness begins with being grateful. I love it. Well, I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you.
You made a huge impact on my life, and
I'm
so excited for you.
Thank
and
you.
Proud of you. That's not patronizing to say,
no,
but I'm
good.
So proud.
Thank you.
This is awesome. So, where should people go?
You can go, I mean, it's in Barnes & Noble everywhere in the country, so you can go grab it there, or Amazon, or you can go to lewishouse.com/book. It'll send you right to Amazon as well. You can pick it up anywhere.
Awesome. And you can check out his podcast on iTunes too, School of Greatness. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.